It's the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour with Chris Clark, Wes Mitchell, and Tyler Head on your home of the Gamecocks in Columbia. 107.5 The Game on 100.3 The Game in Myrtle Beach and 100.5 The Game in Florence.
All right, welcome back in. It is 107.5 The Game's Pro Day coverage out here at the indoor practice facility. Got all kinds of people rotating in and out. Again, thanks to defensive coordinator Clayton White for sitting down with us for a few minutes. Got a lot of good insight from him. We're now watching the receivers and Spencer Rattler do some drills here, some of the short-range throws. Seeing Leggett, Marion Brown, Trey Knox taking some reps out there as well. Our guy, Mike Yuva, told us a few minutes ago before we talked to Clayton White, I know he'd initially said that Kerryon Joyner tweaked his hamstring, something that he'd been dealing with a lot of the offseason and apparently re-aggravated earlier on this morning. It does seem like he is going to at least attempt to try and finish some things out today, which, again, that's a good thing, you know, because he's somebody that had the opportunity to really benefit a lot from what happened today.
Yeah, absolutely. You love to see a guy like that get back out there. And look, I mean, the thing is with him, he's got a lot to prove, in my opinion, right? I mean, he's not going to be super high on any draft boards, and a day like today is huge for him. And I totally get why he's trying to finish it out and try to get the most out of it.
So, yeah, guys, right now, generally, a lot of times you would have former players come out and throw in this situation. Perry Orth has thrown for guys in the past. But with South Carolina's situation this year, obviously you have Rattler as a draft pick himself. So right now, the way they have it set up, for those who obviously aren't out here, you're going to have guys running different route trees. There's a NFL scout generally, and I'm not sure who this guy is, but generally you'll have one representative of a team that sort of takes command of the drill and will sort of run Rattler through it, and everybody else sort of follows suit after that. So right now you have Spencer throwing for all of South Carolina's receivers and running backs that are going to take part in this. And Leggett, so for receivers right now, you have Leggett, you have Eddie Lewis, you have Amarion Brown, then you have Trey Knox, obviously a tight end, and then at running back, you have Dekarion Joyner, DJ Twitty running routes, and I believe, yeah, Dante Miller also running routes right now. So that's the group that is doing the on-field work right now, actual real football involved, not the underwear Olympics anymore. This is some actual football being thrown around right now.
This is the thing that gives you a really good indication of what these guys are able to do. And yes, running a 40-yard dash and bench press, that stuff's important too, but this is the real, as Wes mentioned, the legitimate football side of Pro Day that we're finally getting to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, besides tape, I think this is as good as it's going to get. And seeing a guy like Rattler out here throwing, I mean, look, he's continued to impress with the Senior Bowl and the draft combine and stuff. And now Pro Day, I mean, he's continuing to really impress, in my opinion.
And speaking of impressing, Xavier Leggett has impressed plenty in the pre-draft process as well. We talked about the good 40 time they ran at the combine, so won't be running the 40-yard dash today because that time was certainly plenty good enough. And just kind of, you know, reading over some of the draft profiles and the scouting reports on Xavier Leggett leading up to the draft, again, this is a guy that nobody had on their radar going into this past season. Everybody was focused on Juice Wells being the guy at South Carolina. Xavier Leggett did an incredible job stepping up in his absence for most of the season, and rightfully so, has earned himself to be potentially a late first-round, high second-round pick. But, you know, reading some of these projections, there is kind of that wonder about how much more development he needs, somebody that needs to be kind of improving on his route running. So he is going to be somebody that you're going to get into camp at whatever NFL team he goes in and do need to fine-tune a few things, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be that big of a hurdle to get him where they need him to be, wherever he ends up.
Yeah, with X, I mean, the thing was, he didn't have a breakout game really until the Gator Bowl against Notre Dame 2 years ago now. And I mean, before that, I mean, he was like third, fourth on the depth chart, didn't really have much of a chance to prove himself. But now with a full season under his belt, I mean, he's really shined, and that's all you need. All you need is a chance, and he took complete advantage of it and really has progressed up these draft boards.
Guys, I got to think there's a comfort level having Spencer Rattler, who, as we said, has gone through now the NFL Combine, has gone through Senior Bowl. They've done these routes on air probably 10,000 times during his time at South Carolina. So I got to imagine having him at the head of these drills is a great, just comforting element for the other guys going through this.
And on the flip side of that, that's more comfortable for Spencer Rattler as well. When you think about guys like Caleb Williams and Drake May that chose not to throw at the combine, they wanted to be able to get into their own pro day, be able to throw the receivers, guys they're familiar with, guys that they've done it 1,000 times with in practice to help improve on that so there's not miscommunication or anything that could reflect poorly on them. Obviously, Spencer Rattler stepped up in that opportunity for not having those guys throw at pro day and impressed a lot of scouts, but this is even more of an opportunity for him to add to what he's already done.
Yeah, definitely. And guys like Caleb Williams and Drake May, I mean, they're going to be bona fide first-round picks, and I think that's probably why they decided not to throw. But a guy like Rattler, I mean, he could be a third, fourth, day two pick potentially. And because of that, I mean, it gives him the opportunity to be in the spotlight, you know, at the combine and throw to a lot of the top receivers. And a day like today just also really helps him out in, you know, in the long run here.
I was going to say, I still don't love it. Like, I understand those guys not throwing.
Yeah.
I don't love it if I'm a team who's about to put my entire franchise into this guy. I want him to want to throw. I want him to want all the pressure. I want him not to care that I'm having to throw to a wide receiver who maybe I haven't thrown with that much. But I get it. I think it's kind of one of the – you see guys who have already – maybe already their speed is proven. They say, I don't need to run a 40-yard dash. I get it. There's probably a sense from those guys and their agents, really, that's kind of a business-driven decision where they're saying, all you can do is hurt yourself. Like, if you go out there and just have a completely off day, you may, if you're Caleb Williams, you may drop back. And right now, if you don't put that sort of bad day on tape, then you're probably going to be the first or second quarterback taken regardless. So I get it. I get the business decision. But there, that would maybe give me a little bit of pause if I have that decision if I'm an NFL team. Right now, there's obviously always going to be a little bit of pressure in a situation like this. I made the point earlier. In football, you're normally 11 on 11. It's not all eyes on you. This situation, if you're the quarterback or you're the receiver or running back receiving a pass right now, it's literally every single eye here is on you. But right now, I'm watching these guys go through these drills. There's a lot of smiling. There's a lot of sort of guys staying loose. It doesn't really feel like there's a ton of pressure going right now. And I feel like a situation where these guys are pretty comfortable.
Absolutely. Well, let's get to some players up next here as we have our draft day coverage or pro day coverage out here at the indoor practice facility here on 107.5 The Game.
What's up, Jamar?
Again, it is the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour presented by Firehouse Subs. Tyler Head and Wes Mitchell going until noon now here. We've had Mike Yuvon, had our guy Jack Veltri still hanging out with us from Gamecock Central. And, you know, the funny thing about Pro Day is it's certainly about a lot of the guys that are taking the opportunity to show off for these scouts to go to the next level. It's also about some familiar faces returning back home as well. Jabari Ellis now joining us here on The Game, a guy that people are very familiar with. Been away for a couple years. Welcome back home.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me, man. It feels great to be back.
Jabari, why did you want to go show out today? Why are you back? And what do you think you showed the NFL team today? I know you've been working really, really hard and staying in shape. Back in the States now. Why don't you tell the fans a little bit about what you've been up to the last 7 months?
Yeah, so the thing about it, man, coming out of college, of course, I signed with the Giants. And shortly after that, I went down to Canada. Well, went up to Canada, I should say. And I've been back on U.S. soil for about 7 months now. And I labeled it as the revenge tour. You know, revenge tour, I understood and knew my capabilities and where I'm supposed to be. And I feel like that is the NFL. I know that is the NFL. So that was the reason me coming back out here. Just to showcase, I had some things to work on my first stint with the league. Now I'm back. I don't work on that. And that's what it's about, you know, and that's what it's about.
So what does a day like today look like for you from that standpoint?
Overall, man, I had a productive day. You know, I got a chance to showcase what I can do. It was good. It was good, truly. You know, I got some feedback, positive feedback. And the talent was never the problem. You know, that was never the thing. It was never a talent thing. So it was good to go back out here and just showcase, like, hey, I'm back on U.S. soil.
Jabari, thanks for joining us first off. Coming into a day like today, like, what kind of goes into the decision of deciding what drills you're going to do and that sort of thing? Like, is that kind of what scouts are, like, looking for specifically, or what's kind of the idea behind it?
Yeah, so it's from the scouts. So we had Green Bay Packers coach that was running the D-line drills, and this was all his drills. Everything he wanted to see in the player, the bend, the burst, to get off, you know, change the direction, things like that. Actually, I was out there doing linebacker drills as well, you know, and of course, I don't play linebacker, but I can. I got the ability to drop in coverage, certain packages, or whatever the case may be. So I just wanted to showcase, man, whatever they wanted me to do, you know, I can do it.
Yeah. What's the story behind the shirt you have on today?
Well, just like I said, first of all, my shirt, it says I belong. You know, it says I belong. And it started from I had a chance to see it, taste it, and live the NFL experience. And, you know, and I know and understand that I do belong. If I didn't feel like I didn't belong, I would have been stopped on my journey. But that's been driving me to keep going and keep going, because I know what it's like and I know I belong.
If you go back in time to when you first joined the Giants out of college, what would you tell yourself back then from what you know now?
Well, I'm going to be honest, man. When I got released, I told the GM and the head coach, Dave and Joe Shane, I said, I'll be back. I said, I got some things to work on, and I'll be back. And I knew that, especially living in New York, everything, I was wide-eyed. I was wide-eyed, but I understood that I had some things to work on. And ever since I left, man, I've been working on them, working on them, working on them. And now I can truly say that I'm ready.
Were there some specific things that you wanted to showcase today and some things you've been kind of working on? If you get, like, really down into the nuance of playing the position and playing the NFL, what were the things you wanted to showcase today, you think?
Most of all, man, that I understand. I'm here, you know? Just most of all, that I can do it. It wasn't, just like I said, it was never a talent thing. It was never a talent thing. I was always gifted. God bless me with the talents. So it was never a talent thing, but just most of all, that I'm here, I can do it, and I still look like I can do it, you know? So that was the biggest thing from the day.
What was playing in the CFL like, and, you know, going to Canada and stuff? Was it kind of like a culture shock compared to being from here and stuff?
Oh, 100%. So I was in Montreal, Canada, and their first language is French. So you know, I had a lot of learning to do. By the time I left, I could have a conversation, a fairly decent conversation in French. But it was for sure a culture shock. I'm a South Carolinian, born and raised. So the biggest thing for me was the cold. You know, it was the cold. I like to say, one of my coaches had a saying, don't let nothing without a heartbeat beat you. But that cold, man, that's up there. That's up there. But overall, man, I enjoyed it. I wouldn't trade not one piece of my story, one part of my journey, because everything was a learning experience and got me where I'm at today.
Again, talking to former Gamecock, Jabari Ellis, hanging out with us here at Pro Day. When you talk about CFL, I know a lot of people kind of scoff at it a bit because you have the NFL here and it's kind of seen as, you know, maybe a little bit of a step down. But when you look at guys that are playing in the CFL, a lot of them have very similar stories to you. Maybe got cut from NFL rosters, didn't get that chance in the NFL. They're all looking to go out there and prove themselves to get back to the States and play in the Premier Football League in the world. What's the intensity level like, not only on the field competition-wise, but within the own locker room in a CFL environment?
Yeah, well, it's different for sure. And no disrespect to the CFL because, man, it's some good football over there. You got some great players over there, truly. It's a whole different game, though. It's a whole different game. It took some adjusting. I can remember we lost my first year, we lost a championship to a missed field goal. And yeah, you heard that right. We lost a championship game to a missed field goal. Kicked it out of bounds, and they got 1 point, and we lost the game. So that was new to me. You know, all that, it was new to me. But overall, man, I wouldn't trade it. Just like I said, I wouldn't trade it. I appreciate Canada because I found myself there.
How nice has it been today? Not, I mean, I know you're here for, you know, proving yourself and stuff, but seeing some of your former teammates and some of the current guys on this year's team and stuff. First off, what are your thoughts on some of the guys there on this year's team for South Carolina and just, you know, how good is it to be back?
Yeah, man, it felt good to be back. Always when I come, this is truly home. Just like I said, this is truly home. Felt good just to see the guys that I played with, even the new guys, man, getting a chance to talk to some of them and get introduced to some of them, man. It just felt good. I always try to pour back any way I can, try to pour back and just help somebody out, help anyone out. But I enjoyed it. It was good seeing the guys. You know, I hope to get back up here soon.
Yeah, and so Jabari, How nice is it to be welcomed back as well? Like, you know, welcome home is a slogan, but just to feel comfortable coming back, that's obviously got to mean something to you.
Right.
And then on top of that, what was maybe your best memory as far as your time here at South Carolina as a player?
Oh, man. So it felt good. It felt good being welcomed back. Every time I come back, man, it always a truly warm embrace, open arm embrace. So I'm appreciative of that. It felt good. And the thing about it, I just enjoy it, man. Just truly enjoy being back home, the environment, everything. I love it here. This is where my heart is at, for sure.
One more thing for you here. How much French did you pick up, and can you teach us any real quick?
Okay. I picked up quite a bit. You know, I've been back U.S. soil for 7 months now, so I kind of put that French behind me. That French behind me, man. But I got you off the mic.
Parlez-vous français.
There you go.
Do you speak French?
Come on, don't put me on spot now.
Well, man, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time. Certainly wish you the best of luck. And, man, we can't wait to see you get that second opportunity.
Most definitely, man. Thank you. I appreciate y'all, man. And go Gamecocks.
Absolutely. That's Jabari Ailes, former Gamecock, out here at Pro Day. For a second chance in the NFL. We'll be back. I believe we're going to get Dow Loggins coming up next here on the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour presented by Firehouse Subs here on the game. Welcome back in. It's the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour presented by Firehouse Subs, broadcasting out until noon at Pro Day, the indoor practice facility here at the University of South Carolina. Happy to be joined now by offensive coordinator for the Gamecocks, Dow Loggins. Dow, first of all, thanks so much for taking a few minutes of your time. A little different perspective on Pro Day for you compared to, you know, basically the past two decades, right?
Yeah, it is. I'm actually a little bit more nervous than I normally am. Normally, these are pretty relaxing, just watching. But when it's your guys out there going, I'm peeking over right now as it goes on, making sure that Spencer's accurate and Trey and Leggett are catching the ball. And so it's definitely an exciting time for these guys.
Coach, with your time in the NFL, I'm sure teams have been leaning on you. They've been calling, asking about Spencer, probably asking about the other guys as well. How have those conversations gone? What do they ask when they call to talk to you about these guys?
Yeah, you know, I think we'll have three guys that definitely have a great chance to get drafted with Spence, Leggett, and Trey Knox. And, you know, I was in the NFL for 17 years, and there's only 32 teams, and I've worked for six or seven of them. And so it is a tight circle. So I have a lot of friends, obviously, and a lot of people that I know. And get a lot of the calls about how their games are going to translate in the NFL. How do they learn? What do they like away from the field? What kind of teammate are they? It's a lot of the things they don't see on tape. And now the advantage you have when you play in a pro-style offense is these guys were prepared when they went in the combine, and all of a sudden, like, Spencer's in a draft meeting with Sean Payton, and he's on the board drawing something, and Coach Payton's saying, hey, we call it that. And it's like, yeah, I learned it from him in 2005. So, you know, there's some advantage of playing in a pro-style offense that definitely helps prepare you for this thing as well. So there's been a lot of intrigue, which means a lot of phone calls, which means our guys did what they were supposed to do at the combine, and the tape impressed, but more importantly, the people impressed, which, well, you got three outstanding guys that were there at the combine offensively, and talking about Nick Gargiulo as well, having the fourth guy. You know, so it was a successful week for us at the combine, and now those phone calls are calling because of what they did.
Yeah, first off, thank you again for joining us. Really appreciate it. But, you know, with your time in the NFL, what was it like being on the other side of this, coming to Pro Days from the NFL perspective?
Well, you're digging for information, and you're finding out who are the truth tellers at the school, and that's hard because you're the Los Angeles Chargers, and you come all the way out to South Carolina to watch this Xavier Leggett, who's got this country dialect. Like, you're trying to figure out, is it country? Is he smart? Can he learn? What type kid is he? And you're really relying on the people at the school to tell you the truth, and the people at the school don't realize all the time, like, hey, that's your reputation. So, like, when you have another kid, if we can trust you, we're going to call and lean on you for information versus, hey, if you're not telling us the truth, we draft a kid and he turns out to not be a character fit, you know, then all of a sudden your credibility's hurt as well. So it's two-sided that way. And, like, you're trying to get a great – like, the tape shows you what type of player they are. You're trying to figure out what type kid they are, and can I – whether it be a strength coach, a trainer, a custodian. It's a little bit – and that's how, like, I approach recruiting that way. Like, I get weird phone calls from people like, hey, did you talk to the trainer? I'm like, well, when I was in the NFL, like, I'd grab the trainer and say, what kind of injury history has he got? Like, is he a guy that can play through, like, does he understand the difference between being injured and being hurt? Because once the season starts, you're going to be hurt. Like, every one of these guys that plays has something that's bothering. This is a violent, hard sport. And you're trying to figure those type questions out, and you rely on the people here to tell you, and I take the same approach in recruiting.
Again, we're talking to Gamecocks offensive coordinator Dow Loggins. So you have the individual workouts, you know, the drills that are running right now, Rattler throwing to some of his receivers. You have things like the 40-yard dash. You have
he
the weight workouts,
right there,
all
he?
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Beautiful pass there. How do you balance all this information in addition to the individual interviews that you have with these guys from what these teams are doing out here with the scouts and stuff when you're thinking about drafting someone? How do you balance all that information to decide who to go with?
Well, you're in a room with every scout, the position coach, the coordinator, and the head coach, and the area scout's got to be great with all the information of who the mental makeup of the kid is. The position coach, and they have cross-checkers. So there's guys that the assistant GMs and the national cross-checker, they're verifying, did we all get the same story? If we did, all right, we're good. Check that box. If we didn't, we got to find out where the discrepancy happened. And then the position coach is sitting in there saying, like, hey, you're ranking these guys. You hear the mental makeup. Then you're talking about, hey, what's the tape look like? Is this guy fit for our team? And then the coordinator's overseeing it. And he watches more than the position coach because he's got to watch every position. And he's saying, then the head coach and general manager. So it's a process. And the teams that do it the best are the teams that have their process is they stick to their process. They know the prototypes and that they want. Everyone has different guys, and the really good ones. You go back, you watch the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Ravens. Like, names have changed, but their outside linebackers still look the same. Like, whether it was Greg Lloyd or back of the Steelers, they've all looked the same, and they know what they want it to look like. And it's all a process of finding the fit for their team. You're scouting for one team, not 32.
We're watching Spencer throw right now, Coach. Looks in command, looks calm. What are you seeing from him right now as you watch on, and what is an NFL team going to get in Spencer Rattler?
Wes, you nailed it. That's what they want to see right now. They've seen the tape. They know what he can do, but they want to see what kind of command he has. That's not on tape. So, like, they're watching right now. How is he? Is he running the show? Is his script well organized? When there is an incompletion, if there's going to be one today, how does he interact with that receiver, that running back, that tight end? What's that dialect like? They're looking for all those things. They're trying to find out the makeup, the competitive spirit on those things. So that turns into why these pro days, why there's so many people here right now, because we got some good players and they want to see all this.
You know, when you go back to Spencer's Senior Bowl performance and then the draft combine, first off, what did you think of that? And then, you know, obviously there's some guys that weren't throwing at the draft combine, but Spencer was. How much do you feel like that kind of helps him in the long run of getting, you know, for these scouts to see what he can do?
Yeah, I think it shows who he is. Like, Spencer, we had debates back and forth, should we run a 40? And what do we think between his agent, myself, Spence? And we all knew Spencer wasn't going to run a 4.4, 4.5. But, hey, fast guys run, competitors compete. So, hey, let's go compete. So we run 4.9, whatever that is, solid time for a quarterback. But let's show people who we are, and let's go compete. Let's go do this where a lot of people aren't running, aren't throwing. Let's show them our competitive spirit wherever it is, if it's in the parking lot of Target or, you know, Sunday in Green Bay versus Chicago. Like, we're going to compete. And that's what his mindset was. And I think that, hey, if you're as talented as him, why not go compete and go show what you can do?
Again, Gamecocks offensive coordinator Dow Loggins joining us here out at Pro Day, talking about Rattler and reading all these, you know, scouting reports and things leading up to the draft. One thing that's consistent that gets brought up with him a lot, and it was a reputation that followed him through a lot of his college career, was being careless with football, putting the ball in bad situations, turnover-worthy plays, all that kind of stuff. But when you look at the numbers, this past season with you as his offensive coordinator, cut those number of plays in half. And I think we saw that just from watching him each and every week. He's gotten a whole lot better when it comes to taking care of the ball, not putting it in dangerous situations. How hard is it to shake that reputation if it's followed you for a couple of years?
Well, it's not, and I think that's why he was the buzz of the combine, because he did have that reputation, and he did put the ball in jeopardy. He went from, he had 9 fumbles the year before to 0 this year. He played a lights out against that in that Clemson game, threw 2 picks, should have thrown 4. So when we got here, the first thing we did was we watched all the plays. The ball was put in jeopardy. And you talk about guys that, can they take coaching? What does that mean? That means, are they smart enough, instinctive enough to be able to take the coaching point you're giving them and apply that to their game? And that's why Spencer's created a buzz, because now all these coaches are starting to watch the tape and they're like, wow, he's different. He's taking care of the ball. That reputation, he still got the live arm. He still is really aggressive in the timing of the play, but he went from 9 fumbles to 0. And that's Spencer. That's him being able to do that. Like, we can do every drill in the world with him. We could talk about it. But if they can't, in their mind, process what causes fumbles, what puts the ball in jeopardy, then it doesn't matter how well you coach him or how many drills you put him through. Like, it's him understanding where he needed to improve and him going out and doing it and being conscious of that. And I think that's why the buzz on him is starting to turn up, because now these people are really starting to watch the tape. And now it becomes more about the body work this year than his reputation, and when they like what they see right now.
Coach, real quick, a spring ball question that starts in 1 week.
Yeah.
Did you have a moment where you looked around the room and it hit you, 7 is not in this group anymore?
I mean, ever since that last game, that's what you process. Like, you're just sitting there saying, like, how do we replace 7? How do we replace 17? How do we replace 1? Like, you're losing 3 guys to the NFL draft, and see what happens with Nick G. But you're talking about a skill group that was able to throw the football well. It was just the strength of the offense. And you don't replace guys like that. It's almost like, oh, I was goofing around with the weight room guys. I'm like, you're not replacing 1,200 yards of Leggett. Is it like Moneyball, and we're trying to find how are we going to get these 1,200 yards from different people? And that's what we got to find. That's the cool thing about spring ball, is you kind of get to figure out your roster and figure out, you know, what you have and how to use those best. Because this time last year, no one was talking about Xavier Leggett. Mm-hmm. Everyone kept telling me about the other guy, and I just saw a guy, 17, that came and worked his butt off every day, did things the right way, and showed up in the biggest moments and helped this team compete and played his best football all year when we needed him the most, and did everything in his power to help us win as many games as we could. And so, like, now you're starting that process all over, and you remind yourself sometimes that you're not going to have Spencer Rattler. You're not replacing Spencer Rattler. He's going to go in the first 2 or 3 rounds of the NFL draft, which is incredible. Same with Leggett. But last year, this time, no one was talking about Leggett. And everyone knew that Trey Knox was coming from somewhere, and there's other pieces like, you know, Oscar Attaway and Rocket Sanders, and maybe we win a different style, maybe we play a different style, and that's what spring ball is about, is find out what you have. And then you figure out what you have, and I think the good coaches get the best out of their players, and I think this staff did that last year with our best players who are working here right now. We maximize their talent. Boy, they're all talented, and I'd love to have all of them back again. But that's the fun part about spring ball.
Yeah, you mentioned some of those running backs there. Obviously, the run game was a little hit or miss that, you know, at some points last year.
Yeah, you're being generous. Yeah.
Appreciate
that. But you're sitting here.
So yeah, exactly.
I know what the conversation is when I walk up, like, abysmal, disappointing.
Yeah.
Like,
but when you have all the guys coming in the run game this year, how much does that really help diversify, expand what you guys are able to do, not just in the pass game, but, as a running game as well?
You got to play to your strengths, all right? And that's what this whole thing is about. Last year, our best player were our quarterback, our wide receiver, and our tight end. And we'll have a different set of strengths this year, and we got to figure that out. And if the running backs are only as good as our offensive line. And this whole thing, like, you guys know it, I know it. We're going to go as far as our offensive line is going to go. So we got to get those guys healthy. We got to develop, and we got to have a great offseason, getting stronger in the weight room. We play in the hardest conference in football, and we understand the challenge. And it's going to – we'll go as far as those guys up front go, because this team will be different. It will look different. But that doesn't mean that it can't be successful. We'll just have different strengths this year.
With Spencer Rattler moving on to the NFL, and, you know, the debate is, okay, it's going to be Lenore Sellers, it's going to be Robbie Ashford, somebody else maybe stepping up and taking the quarterback spot. Regardless, the offense is going to look a lot different this year based on the skill set of those guys that are in the mix for the quarterback spot. What's the process of changing an offense over the course of an offseason?
Well, it's you're studying, you're looking, you're going on previous experiences. Like, hey, I go back if it's one of these more athletic guys. Like, we've had success with Vince Young. He's went to the Pro Bowl 3 years in a row, rookie of the year when we were coaching him in Tennessee. Like, KJ Jefferson when we were at Arkansas. You're looking, you're trying to build an offense around the skill set of your players. And it's number one, the hardest thing in all this is to identify the players and their strengths. All right, and it would have been really easy for me to come in here last year and say, yeah, Leggett, he hadn't done anything in 4 years. Like, how are we going to count on this guy? I mean, my job is to find out the strength of each player and then make sure we're maximizing him and using him in the best possible situation to help this football team. So the challenge for every coach is determine the strengths of each player. There's a way to win every game, and sometimes it's really hard to find that. I learned that from Coach Parcells a long time ago, and that's our job. We got to figure out our strengths, play to our strengths, and hide our weaknesses.
Coach, final thing. I know you want to get back to watching Spencer, but you mentioned the O-line real quick.
Yeah.
I know you guys added from the portal.
Yeah.
You bring a bunch of young guys back that got playing time last year. Do you feel like you are in position to start to build that depth that you're looking to find at that spot?
I don't know if I feel like we're in position to build depth. My goal is to hopefully between these guys, the two young, we got a really good freshman class. Mm-hmm. All right, and they're doing a great job in the weight room. But it's how fast. We're in a race against time to get those guys ready versus get some of these guys healthy. We're trying to find 7 to 8 that can play, and we're not there yet. And we're working hard. They're working hard to make this thing happen as fast as possible. But that's the challenge. Like, that's the bottom line. That's going to be the challenge this year, is finding who's that top 7 to 8 guys, because you're going to have injuries. Like, making sure that they're strong enough, they play well together, and go out there and put a product out there that was better than it was last year in pass protection, the run game. And that's pretty much the primary focus of this offseason right now, is finding out, like, those guys who are going to be able to stay. And it's going to go through August, because some of these freshmen, they're going to have a chance to compete. They need as much time in the weight room with our nutrition staff as possible.
Well, Dad, we certainly appreciate you taking a few minutes of your time. We're excited to see how everything goes this offseason. Can't wait for the season finally to get here in the end of August.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Again, Dad Loggins, offensive coordinator for the Gamecocks. We'll get back to watching Rattler throw to some of these receivers as we'll come back and wrap up today's edition of the Gamecocks Central Takeover Hour, presented by Firehouse Subs, here out of Pro Day on the game.